We thank you for this moment. Thank you that since we came here, you have been blessing us. And thank you for this time as we are going into your word. We invite you again, dear Holy Spirit. We say that we depend upon you. We confess that without you, we can do nothing. So we pray, let the heavens be opened. Let there be abundance of seed for the sower and surplus bread for the eaters, so that the sower and the eaters together shall be satisfied and you, our Heavenly Father, you'll be glorified. Spirit of God, open our hearts to your word and give us understanding and make this message a blessing. Thank you for answered prayers, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Well, this morning, by God's grace, I will be ministering on our theme for the month, Glimpse of Glory. Please open your Bibles together with me to the book of Matthew chapter 25 as we read from verse 31 to verse 34. And again, we are going to read Revelation chapter 7 and then from verse 11 to 17. And then again, we shall read Revelation chapter 21 verse 1 to 5. And then lastly, Revelation chapter 22 and from verse 1 to 5. So Matthew 25 from verse 31 first. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 7, and then we're going to read from verse 11 to verse 17. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah. That same book of Revelation, chapter 21, and let's look at it from verse 1. A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Lastly, let's look at chapter 22 of that same book of Revelation as we read it from verse 1 all through to verse 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded our fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more cross, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no light there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I said this morning, I am speaking on the theme, Glimpse of Glory. And I've divided this message into 7 parts. So listen and follow carefully as I take them part by part. Let's look at the first part. As we ask ourselves, why talk about heaven? Why do we need to talk about heaven? Number one, the concept of rewards for obedience and punishment for disobedience is a central theme throughout all of Scripture. When you read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will discover that the theme of obey and be rewarded, obey and be blessed, disobey and be punished is common and is central all through the Bible. Then secondly, heaven is our hope as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. That is why Paul said, if only in this life we have hope, we have all men most miserable. Our hope is beyond anything that this world can give. As believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven is our hope. Number three, heaven is the central theme of Christianity and the whole essence of our faith. That is all that constitutes our faith. And then number four, the hope of heaven encourages godliness. It is the incentive for our purity as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. You know how Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. So a Christian knows that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And then in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says there that anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. You won't try to keep yourself pure if there is no hope of heaven. I won't try to keep myself pure if there is no hope of heaven. So please let us know that the preaching or the talk about heaven is the incentive for our purity as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. Number 5, I say here, conversely, the thoughts of going to hell, which is the only alternative place anybody can go to apart from heaven, the thoughts of going to hell in itself deter sinners. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 11, there Paul said, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. That thought in itself has terror. It is tormenting. When somebody thinks, if I die in sin, I might go to hell. And the person thinks about it, you try to close your eyes and imagine it, a place that the Bible says is burning with fire and brimstone, and the fire is never quenched, and yet the worm, as soft and tender as the worm is, the Bible says the worm will never die. So that thought in itself deters sinners from dabbling into sin. And then number 6, the hope of heaven comforts God's servants who are struggling, who perhaps are weary, or they are caught in trials and persecutions. Whatever your lot as a believer, as you are striving to serve God, sometimes you are frustrated, sometimes you are tired, sometimes you are weary, sometimes you are almost fed up and tempted to pack it up. A lot of the times we are struggling. And many Christians pass through all kinds of trials, tribulations, and persecutions. You know, but when you think about heaven, it comforts you. When you think about heaven, and you know that life, or the struggles of life, the roughness of life will not continue forever. There will be an end to it, and there will be a rest for me someday. That thought comforts us as believers. And then, number 7, why we have to talk about heaven. Hope of heaven stirs up the Christian to preach and witness to neighbors, friends, and families to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is why we preach. That is why we witness. That is why we give out tracts. That is why we evangelize. Because we don't want these people to go to hell. Because we want our family members to be with us in heaven. Because we want our friends to be with us in heaven. Because we want our neighbors also to be with us in heaven. If you don't know about heaven, as a believer, you will not have that urge to preach. You will not have that urge, you know, to witness. You know, sometimes, I don't know if some of you have ever thought about it. All these things that this pastor or pastors in general are preaching about, how do they get them? You see, the more you think about heaven, the more burden you will have to declare God to men. The more urge, the more passion you will have to rescue as many people as possible out of the danger and the torment of hell. So, the hope of heaven stirs up the believer to preach and to witness for Christ. Now, let's move on to the second part of the message. As I talk about heaven, and I say, yeah, heaven is beyond our imagination. Number one, heaven is a place of eternal rest, words, and reign with God. You know, in heaven, we are going to have rest, we are going to have rewards, and we are going to reign with God. Howbeit, eternally. Eternal means forever or everlasting, something that never comes to an end. It continues and continues and continues without an end. I'm sure that there is nothing on earth that we can compare to that. There is nothing on earth that does not have an end. But when we cross over to heaven, we cross to the place of eternal rest, eternal rewards, and eternal reign with God. Number two, heaven is beautiful beyond human imagination and description. You know, all we can try to do in our limitations as human beings is to try to find words that could closely describe it, that could closely illustrate it, that could closely say something close to what we are trying to describe. So it is a place of beauty beyond human imagination and description. Then number three under that, heaven is so wonderful that all we can learn from the scripture by the Holy Ghost and our best description of it is only a mere glimpse of glory. And that's why the title is taken from Glimpse of Glory. All that we can read in the Bible, all that we can strain ourselves to extract from the Word of God can best be described as glimpse of glory. Point number four, I say here, it is like a blind man describing the beauty of the sun or the flower that he has never seen. Imagine a man that was born blind trying to describe the beauty of the sun or trying to describe the beauty of a flower. How is he going to do it? That is our handicap as mere men when we are trying to describe the beauty of heaven. And lastly, in that line, number five, I say, or it is like someone writing a travel guide for a place he has never visited. You know, you have never been to London and you are asked to write a travel guide for people who are going to London to help them to find their way in London. And you yourself, you have never been to London. You know that even if you have been to London, it will take you years to know London. Those of us that are living in Lagos, for however long you might have been living in Lagos, how much of Lagos do you know? And now, talk less of somebody who has never been to Lagos writing a description and a travel guide for people visiting Lagos. That is our limitation as mere men when we talk about heaven. So heaven is beyond our imagination. And now point number three. I say heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Without any doubt, heaven is a place of newness. Don't forget that part of what Jesus Christ said to us in John chapter 14 from verse 2 is, I'm going to my Father, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said that I go to prepare a place for you. And then he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come back to take you to be with me, so that where I am, there ye may be also. So, heaven is a prepared place. Jesus has gone now for over 2,000 years to prepare it, and he is still preparing it. And this is the way I like to describe it. You know, one of the best construction firms in Nigeria as of today is Julius Berger. If any project would take Julius Berger 10 years to complete, then you can imagine how massive that is. You can imagine how magnificent that is. You can imagine how expansive that is. And now, come to think of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is in himself God and the creator of heaven and earth. And he said over 2,000 years ago, I go to prepare a place for you. And right now, as we sit in church, he is still busy preparing that place for you and I. Then you can now begin to imagine how big, how great, how massive, how expansive, how beautiful, how magnificent, and how glorious that place will be. No wonder the only word Jesus could use for it is mansions. A mansion is not just a house. A mansion is a house that is full of rooms, utility rooms, rooms to serve virtually any purpose that you can think of. That is mansion. And that is mansion as conceived by man. How much more mansion as conceived by God? No wonder the Bible says the saints of old, they were looking for that city whose builder and maker is not man, but whose builder and maker is God. It is a prepared place. And come to think of it, if it is taking God so much time and so much effort to prepare this place, imagine how it will equally take him time and effort to prepare you as a person for that prepared place. So, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And that is why you yourself, you must be prepared if you want to go to heaven. So, I say it is a place of newness. And come to think of the new things that we're going to see in heaven. Number one, heaven itself and earth will be new. Presently, there is a heaven, and right now, there is an earth. But the Bible tells us that God is going to create new heaven and a new earth. So, the heaven we are talking about is a new one. God is going to create a brand new one. Hallelujah. And then, number two, we ourselves that will be in heaven, we shall be new people. Can you now see why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is what? A new creature. All things have passed away. He said, behold now, all things have become new. So listen to me. You cannot enter heaven with your old Adamic nature. That is why the Bible says, nothing that defiles shall enter therein. That is why you yourself, you must release yourself into the hands of God and allow the Holy Spirit to renew you. The Bible says, although our outward man perishes, our inward man is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Heaven is a place for new people, not people who are still walking in the old self, in that old Adamic nature that is falling. That Adamic nature can never enter into heaven unless you allow the Spirit of God to renew you and to make you new all over again. You are not going to enter heaven. That is why Jesus Christ said unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that man wondered and asked Jesus, how can a man be born again? Will he enter into his mother again and then his mother will born him the second? No. Jesus Christ then explained to him that except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, what is born of the flesh is of the flesh. Man will always behave carnally. It is only when we have been regenerated by the Spirit of God that we begin to behave like people who have been renewed, like people who are now filled and full of the Spirit of God. That is when we cannot begin to yearn after God. We cannot begin to desire God. We cannot begin to say like the psalmist, as the deer pants after the brook of waters, so my soul longs for you, O God. The question I want to ask you this morning is, have you been renewed? Have you been regenerated? It goes beyond merely going to church. It goes beyond just being religious. Your nature must be dealt with. Sin must be crucified in your life. That is why the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. And that's why Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless I live, but the life which I now live, I live by my faith in the Son of God. So have you been born again? Have you been regenerated? Has that Adamic sinful nature in your life been crucified and nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ? Have you been buried in the water of baptism and now you are raised by the power of the Holy Ghost so that the life which you now live, you live by the help and power of the Spirit of the living God? There be too many things the people of the world who are not born again will say, it's not possible to do this, it's not possible to do that, it's not possible to do that. And yet, it is true that it is not possible for them to do it because the power of God has not been given to them. That is why Jesus Christ said, the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12, says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to as many as believed on his name. Unless you are given that power over sin, you will find out that day in, day out, you keep wallowing in sin and sin continues to dominate your life. But that control can be broken. That yoke can be destroyed. If only you allow God and you let him take over. So heaven is a new place for new people. And then number three, in heaven the Bible talks about the fact that God is going to give us a new name. You are going to carry a new name. Forget about the name that your father gave you, that your mother gave you. Those names will not be fit to enter into heaven. The Bible tells us that God is going to give each one of us a new name. And the name will be so unique that only you that is given that name will know the name that you have been given. Hallelujah. I look forward to being in heaven. I look forward to having a new name. You know, there are lots of these names that we carry. They have all kinds of cultural backgrounds to these names. They have all kinds of ungodly meanings. You know, you can imagine somebody that his father named him Mr. Eshubiyi. There would never be any Eshubiyi in heaven. All of you who still answer names after idols, after Ogun, after Oya, after Shango, after Ifa, and all of those names will never enter heaven. God is going to cancel all these fetish and idolatrous names. And God is going to give you a new name. Hallelujah. And then number four, in heaven, the Bible talks about New Jerusalem created from heaven and descending, and it's been brought down to the earth. There's going to be a new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Everything in heaven is new, brand new. That is why the Bible says, eyes have not seen. Whatever you have seen in this world, is not going to be in heaven. Everything is going to be new. Even you are going to be new. It's going to be a new brand of you, a new you. Hallelujah. So the Bible talks about New Jerusalem. And then number five, new paradise. God is going to create a new paradise. You know, paradise is another word of describing a place that is full of glory, of splendor, and of pleasure that is beyond description. And that is what God is going to create for his people and for his children. Let's move on to part four of the message. As I talk about heaven, is a place of untold beauty and perfection. A place of untold beauty and perfection. You know, all I'm just trying to do this morning is trying and struggling within the limits of my being to give you this morning a glimpse of the glory of heaven. Heaven is a place of untold beauty and perfection. You know, that word, perfection, is a word that haunts many human beings. You know, when a lot of people want to excuse their failures, they say, nobody is perfect. Nobody is perfect. Well, we can excuse you if you say that on earth. But in heaven, heaven is going to be a place of perfection. Everything must be in ultimate glory, ultimate beauty, ultimate perfection. Everything in heaven, by the grace of God, shall be perfect. Number one, is going to be a place of perfect life. Perfect life. You know, sinless life. A life that is not sick. You won't be sick in heaven. You won't be tired in heaven. You won't be frustrated in heaven. You won't have any cause to be sorrowful. The life in heaven is going to be a perfect life. Number two, we are going to have a perfect house. That is why Jesus Christ describes it as a mansion. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And he's going to prepare a place for you and I. It's a perfect house. A house that, when you look at it, there will be no fault. No single thing that you can walk upon. No single thing that you can fine-tune. No single thing that you can adjust. No single thing that you can make better. If you look around us in this building, in this auditorium, I'm sure you will see lots of imperfections. Lots of them. But in heaven, it's going to be a perfect house. I tell you, there is no such house on earth. You know, a lot of the times when people have just completed a new house and they invite me to come and pray over it and dedicate it, and then they conduct me around the house, one of the things I do, which has to do with my training as an interior decorator, is to say, wow, who did this one? This isn't good enough. That you ought to improve on it. That and that and that. And sometimes, some of the people find it very hard. You know, this is a house, brand new house, they are celebrating. As far as they are concerned, it's the best. But you know, depending on who you are, depending on your background, depending on your training, when you look at some of those things, you see quite a lot of things that ordinary eyes won't see. And that's why you discover that as an interior decorator, you are trained to be a perfectionist. It's just like a chef. Forget about cooks. I'm talking about chef, the professional chef. A lot of you, if you are served 3 types of wine or 4 types of wine, you may not know the difference, but a professional chef will tell you the difference. Will tell you which wine is older, the grade wine, according to the age of the wine. A professional chef knows that the longer the wine, the better the taste. And that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. But even the best of chefs, the best of interior decorators, will have nothing to improve upon in heaven. Heaven is such a place that the mansions there are perfect. And heaven in itself is a perfect kingdom. There is no nation on earth that is perfect. There is no kingdom on earth that is perfect. A lot of the times, when you listen to news, depending on the station that you are listening to, I have discovered that every station is biased. Every station has a prejudice. Most of the times, what you watch on CNN, they have been polished. They have been worked upon to project America in a good light before the rest of the world. And that is why they will always show most of the times the decadence and the corruption and the violence and the bloodshed in other parts of the world, but not in America. If America goes to fight anywhere and their troop is defeated, if CNN will mention it at all, it will be in passing. But I'm sure you are taking notice of how they are permanently showing the images of the defeat of certain former powerful rulers of other nations. But they will not show theirs. And that's why you've got to be careful. A lot of us, we listen to news, but we don't know how to analyze news. If you listen to BBC, it is the same thing. And if you listen to NTA, they will say it is not in our character. Even when many of our governors are looting the nation dry, corruption is never in our character as far as NTA is concerned. And the same thing when you read newspapers. Newspapers always carry out the opinions of their proprietors. And they will never allow the newspaper to carry anything that will contradict what they're saying. I'm sure you read in the news recently, our Prince Harry went for a party somewhere and then some people succeeded in getting the photographs of his nakedness and some papers started to publish it. You know, while the papers in the UK were banned from publishing it, they couldn't ban papers outside of the European Union to stop it. And that's to tell you that even in those countries, as much as they try to show us that they are perfect, they are not perfect after all. A lot of us think, if I leave Nigeria and I go to UK or I go to Canada or I go to US, my life will be better. For some people, their life will be worse when they get there. Someone once said to me, America is the best preacher of freedom in the whole world. And yet, America has the largest number of prisoners in the whole world. Is it not a contradiction? You believe in freedom, and yet you are the one that incarcerates people the most. For any little thing in America, you could go to jail. Things that a lot of us will do in Nigeria and will go scot-free. If you go to America and you do those things, you will find yourself behind bars. Sometimes as ridiculous as beating your own child. Can you imagine that? And yet, but because CNN is always bombarding the rest of the world with this false image of liberty, liberty, liberty. America is the best country. Who told you that? In heaven, America will be like a refuse dump. Heaven is a place of perfection. Perfect kingdom. Number four, perfect love. No wonder the Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And yet the Bible says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. You know, all these things we call love, 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 love. Here on earth, there will be a caricature of love, the true love of God, when we get to heaven. Heaven will be a place of perfect love. The best love that human being can imagine. A lot of the times when we talk about love, and especially in our families, particularly in this part of the world, amongst those of us who are blacks, you know that a lot of us are not sincere with ourselves. No wonder the Bible says that the members of a man's household shall be his own foes. Hallelujah. And that's why you discover that in this part of the world, there is a lot of hypocrisy. Family members who will say to you, I love you, and immediately you turn your back, they will raise their nose against you. And that's why a lot of the times when we travel out of town and then we go back to our villages, a lot of the times a lot of us will not dare tell people when we'll be returning back to our bases. Because we don't trust those people. Those uncles, those aunties, those brothers, those sisters, those nieces, those who surround us. Because a lot of them only smile to us facially, and whereas they harbor insincere thoughts in their hearts. So here on earth, the love of men is not good enough. The love of men is not a perfect type of love. The love of men a lot of the times is full of hypocrisy. But when we go to heaven, it's going to be perfect love. Again, number five, in heaven we are going to have perfect joy. No wonder the psalmist said, in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forever. Here on earth, momentarily, we are joyful. At certain moments, we are joyful. But sooner after that, something again will happen that will dampen that joy. And then you'll be down again, and then you are regretting again, and then you are sorrowful again, and then you are mourning. Again, there is no permanent joy here on earth. But in heaven, our joy will be permanent. And our joy will be perfect. Heaven is a place of perfect joy. And then number six, it's a place of perfect peace. Not like the peace of the graveyard. You know, there are some people, in order to have peace, what they do is to kill those who are troubling them. It is to get rid of those that are troubling them. And that's why they said, we should pray for peace, but not the peace of a graveyard. If you go to the graveyard, there is peace, there is silence. But because the graveyard is full of dead people. But heaven will be full of living people, and yet there will be peace. Nobody will raise ammunition or weapons against another person. Nobody will be harboring any injurious thoughts towards another person. Nobody will make any move to harm another person. Heaven will be a place of perfect peace. And then number seven, the last in that line, heaven will be a place of perfect fellowship. Fellowship with God, fellowship with the angels, fellowship with one another. It's going to be a place of perfect communion, perfect interaction, perfect relationship, perfect fellowship. That is heaven. Heaven, a place of perfect fellowship. And now let's move on to part five of the message. Heaven is the beginning of eternity with God. Heaven is the beginning of eternity with God. When we cross over to heaven, we cross from this finite sphere, finite realm into the infinite realm. We cross from this realm that has an end, that has a limit set over it, into that realm that is limitless, that is eternal, and then we'll be there forever and ever and ever. That is why we need to warn men. The best you can have as far as this earth is concerned, maybe if now we can still have any human being that can live up to 150 years, that is the best, 150 years. But even if God spares the life of anybody to live up to 150 years, by the time that person will be coming to that 150 years, he himself will be begging for death, because that person will no longer enjoy himself. Now, come to think of it, is it not folly on the part of man if because of 120 years or at most 150, even if you are meant to live for up to 150, what fraction, what part of that 150 can you enjoy? Some of us cannot even remember what we were or what we did up to about age 3 or 4. The memories a lot of us can have start from maybe age 5, 6, 7 or thereabout. And then the moment you begin to cross into the 80s and 90s, degeneration sets in your body. Your eyes are no longer sharp. Your ears can no longer hear very well. When you speak, people can barely hear you. You know, when you walk, you are bent and you'll be very, very slow as you are walking. All your skin will be wrinkled. You know, you can no longer savour the good taste of food. And like the joke I would normally crack, from pap you came and not to pap you will return. You remember? There is hardly anybody here who didn't take pap as a little child. It's one of the first cereals we started to take as infants. After milk, then you go on to cereal. And then you took pap. As you grow into your old age, you are still going back to that pap. And when they asked you, Baba, Mama, what would you like to eat? You say, pap. And small children will be wondering, when they ask them, what will you eat? Fried rice, andodo, jollof rice, indomie. Grandpa, why are you always taking pap? Grandma, why are you always taking pap? If they give you meat, and strong meat for that matter, you will beg them and say, take it away, take it away. Take it away. You will begin to beg for pap. Now, come to think of it, if our earthly life is so short and limited, why should anybody be so foolish that to allow such a limited time and space to rob him of eternal life, life without an end, a place where we are going to be forever and ever and ever and ever? I would rather forfeit anything and anything in order to be in heaven than to gain anything or everything on earth and forfeit heaven. That is why I wonder why many of our preachers and Christians generally are not talking about heaven anymore. And that's why many Christians have been deceived into now going to scramble for earthly gain, earthly wealth. The best of these things, you are going to leave them behind. You are not going to go with any of them because you didn't come with any of them in the first place. Anything you buy, if you buy land, remember that land once belonged to somebody else. If you buy a car, remember that car once belonged to a showroom. Whatever you bought, that thing was once another man's property. So after you, automatically it must pass over to another person. A particular church has a program and they titled it Power Must Change Hand. Definitely, power must change hand. History is a story of empire rise and empire fall. Build your house, make it magnificent. It doesn't matter. If the Lord tarries, after a time, that house will become so old, it will collapse. Your generation somewhere along the line will have to sell it to another set of people. It doesn't matter how beautiful, it doesn't matter how strong, it doesn't matter how magnificent. That is why there is a Yoruba proverb. They say, "Ko si eni ti oko babe oni diboro." That is, there is nobody whose father's farm someday will not be overgrown with weeds. Because someday, sometime, there will be some people in their lineage that will not be interested in farming, and they will abandon it. Some of you are now living in Lagos. Your father's farms are there in the village. Weeds have taken over them. And a lot of them are now being sold to other people, isn't it? So if we all know this, why are we laboring so much for that which we cannot take along when we die? Why are we laboring so much for that which you cannot enjoy for at most 70 years? No wonder the psalmist said, the number of our days are 70. It is only if by reason of strength that they can be 80. Even the man who lives for 150 years, the best he can enjoy out of those 150 years can never be more than 70 or 80. The rest is nothing but suffering. So if we all know this, friends, let us live for heaven. Heaven is a place of eternal life. God will be there in heaven, and surely God does not die. Angels will be there in heaven, and surely angels don't die. And even we men that will be in heaven, God will give us a new nature. God will give us a new creation. That's incorruptible body, you know. We will have put on a celestial body. The body that cannot die. The body that cannot decay. The body that no longer has an end. So whether you think about God or angels or man, once we cross over to heaven, we are going to be there forever and ever. We are going to have eternal life. And then, number two, heaven is a place of eternal rest. You know, when you go to bed to sleep, definitely you wake up in the morning. And sometimes if you go to sleep very tired and you are going to bed quite lately, by the time you are waking up the following morning, and especially if you have to go to work, you know, you are not fully rested. All your joints are aching. You wish you could continue to sleep, but then you have to go to work, and then you go to work complaining and grumbling, and then you are not your best at work that day. But in heaven, it's not going to be a place for short rest or limited rest. It's going to be a place for eternal rest. No more labor, no more struggling, no more sweating, no more hustling. You know, we are going to rest forever and ever. Number three, heaven is a place of eternal fellowship. Our fellowship in heaven will not have an end. You won't need your wristwatch in heaven. And there will not be any need for clock in heaven. Nobody will complain and say, ah, this service is long ago. Nobody will complain and say, ah, this message is long ago. Nobody will complain and say, ah, we have taken so long a time in church today. If you are one of those who complain like that, be careful, because in heaven there is no closing of service. We are going to be there forever and ever and ever. Heaven is a place of eternal fellowship. And then, number four, heaven is a place of eternal worship. The angels, the 24 elders, they continually bow down, casting down their golden crowns before God and crying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, us and who is and who is to come." And we are going to join them as we sing to God, as we shout hallelujah, as we worship God. We're going to worship Him forever and ever and ever in heaven. Heaven is a place of eternal worship. Number five, heaven is also a place of eternal rewards. Sometimes, if somebody rewards you here on earth, maybe gives you cash or gives you a particular gift, you know, somebody can steal it from you. You know, somebody gives you a check and then you go to bank and then you go to cash it. Thieves can steal it from you. Robbers can rob you of it. Here on earth, thieves break in, robbers they rob, and then all kinds of things happen. But in heaven, whatever rewards God gives you, nobody can take it from you. Your reward will be permanent. Your reward will be eternal. Your reward will be with you and stay with you forever and ever and ever. It is a place of eternal rewards. Number six, heaven in itself is an eternal kingdom. A kingdom that never comes to an end. I have told you, I say, history is the story of empire rise, empire fall. And that's why if you are conversant with news now, you know that US as a nation is beginning to decline. And China as a nation is beginning to rise. And everybody is beginning to have the fear. Even the whole of the EU is beginning to crumble now. They are in a big crisis. And that's why sometimes the Christian must not follow the crowd. Rather, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. All you've got to do is to pray and to seek the face of God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Imagine lots of Nigerians, lots of blacks who have migrated to those parts of the world. Places like Spain, places like Greece, places where the whole of their economy is in shambles. Nations are about to collapse. and they all have to survive on grants. And now China is lending nations money all over the place. So that is history for you. There is no empire on earth that can ever reign forever. Roman Empire, Egypt, or Greece, or whatever. All of them will rise, and someday they just have to fall. It is the law of gravity. Whatever goes up must come down. In heaven, there is no gravity. And come to think of it, even those who have sent space shuttle there, they realize that outside of the earth, there is no gravity. Things float the moment you are out of the sphere of this earth. It is only here, but here on earth, where man dwells, whatever goes up, someday must come down. But heaven is a permanent kingdom, is an eternal kingdom. And lastly, along that line, number 7, our reign in heaven is an eternal reign. We're going to reign forever and ever and ever. Again, come to think of it, when people compete here on earth and they say this one is Miss this, Miss Nigeria, Miss this state, even Miss World, they don't reign for more than 1 year. And all the euphoria of all that they are doing and messing themselves up is just because they want to reign for 1 year. Can you imagine if people have to go to such a length because you want to wear a crown for 1 year, because you want to reign for 1 year? Shouldn't we labor much more to go to a place where we are going to reign forever and ever and ever? That reign has no end. Earthly kings have an end to their reign. At least that king will die. In fact, if you happen to come from a place like Ibadan, where they queue up, the people behind you can push you to die so that they can take your place. Because in Ibadan, they are kings. Their rulership is by queuing. They queue up. Before the king dies, he knows the person that is going to take over from him. Even that one knows, if he gets there, he knows the person that will take over from him. So, if you're in a system like that, people can shortchange one another because they want to take over from their fellow men. But in heaven, you are going to reign forever. Nobody will take over from you. No rival, no competitor of any kind. It's a place of eternal reign. Now, let's go on to the 6th part of the message. And as I talk about the fact that heaven is a place of rest. Heaven is a place of rest. And what type of rest are we going to have? Number 1, we are going to have rest from sin. Come to think of it, the best of saints here on earth is still being tempted. Is still being harassed by sin. And sometimes you err and then you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have entertained that bad thought in my heart. Lord, I'm sorry. To stay pure, we have to be confessing sins and be begging God to cleanse us and to purge us and to forgive us every now and then. When we cross over to heaven, there will be no more sin. You know, there will no more be need to be confessing your sins and to be begging God to forgive you and to be pleading the blood of Jesus to cleanse you and to purge you, because we are going to rest from sin. Secondly, number 2, we are going to receive rest from sickness. You know, doctors will tell you that there is nobody that is not sick one way or the other. You know, sometimes people can come out and testify, brethren, thank God for this past 1 year, I have not taken medicine. Well, you can say you have not taken medicine, but that does not mean that you are free from sickness. Because right within you, all over your body, there are microbes, there are active germs, you know, that are working, that are constantly at work. It is only when they become too much, when they overpower you, that is when you break down. Doctors will tell you, the fact that you don't have symptoms does not mean that you are not sick. And that's why a lot of us have lots of problems in the way we maintain our health here. We don't even go for checkups. Not until we start to feel the symptoms. That is why we now say, I'm not feeling fine. I feel this way. And that's when we go to see the doctors. And usually, when you wait until that time, by the time you are going to see the doctor, the sickness has already eaten deeply into you. Lots of people who die by cancer shouldn't have died if they have been going for regular checkups. And those cancers have been detected, have been discovered early enough before the sufferer started to feel the pain. By the time you start to feel the pain of cancer, that cancer has started to eat vital parts of your body. And by the time you now go to see a doctor, there is not much the doctors can do again. So the fact that you are not feeling symptoms does not mean that you are healthy. The fact that you are not feeling symptoms does not mean that you are not sick. So here on earth, we fall sick every now and then. But in heaven, we are going to gain freedom and rest from sickness. Number three, in heaven we are going to receive rest from struggles. You know, we struggle a lot. Even within us, ourselves, we are struggling. There are lots of that are going on within our members. And we have to struggle in life, you know, to make it. You have to struggle to go to school. You have to struggle to read. You have to struggle to get married, struggle to have children, struggle to make money, struggle to live in a decent house, struggle to own this, struggle to own that. You know, and that's why some people will tell you, life is battle. But when we get to heaven, we are going to rest from all these struggles. And then, point number four, we are going to rest from suffering. Some people have to suffer. We all suffer. But the sufferings of some people are more than the sufferings of others. You know, it is said that somebody was complaining that he didn't have shoes until he saw another person who didn't have legs. And that was why he realized, so I am blessed after all. You know, when you listen to some people's stories, you will know that, wow, certain people have suffered. As a pastor, I listen to people's stories a lot. And that's why a lot of the times when people come to me and they are trying to magnify their stories, I have several other people I can compare you with, or I can compare you to. And as you are trying to tell me that your situation is so bad, I try to let you know that your situation is not as bad. If you see other people in their suffering, if you know what some other people are passing through, then you will open your mouth and you will praise God for your situation. But whether your suffering is small or big, without any doubt, there is no human being in this world that is not suffering in a way. But when we get to heaven, we shall receive rest from all our sufferings. And then point number five, in heaven, we will rest from sorrow. At any point in time, we can sorrow here on earth. You know, you can't ever be free totally or completely from sorrow. And one of the things that make us to sorrow is death. We can only pray to live long. We can't ever pray never to die. So at one time or another in your life, you will definitely have to sorrow. If you lose your father or your mother, definitely you will sorrow. If you lose your spouse, definitely you will sorrow. The one we all pray against is the loss of a child or people that are younger than us. Even if God spares us of that, what about your parents? What about your brothers and sisters? At least those ones who senior you. What about your spouse? Jokingly, I put it to people, husband and wife, if it is given to you to decide who should die first, who are you going to choose? You will see some couples, they will be pushing it to the you go first. No, I first. You know, nobody wants to go first. That is why a lot of the times God doesn't leave it to us. Sometimes, as it was with my parents, it was my mother that was quite sickly. And if any of us, the children, were to predict who would die first, all of us would pick my mother. But unfortunately, it was my father that died first. You know, very healthy. He didn't show any sign to betray that he was going to die. The eve of his death, our mother told us, he still listened to his favorite radio program up till about late in the night. And my mother said, she had to leave him there and say, I'm going to sleep, good night. And then she went into sleep. Only for her to wake up the following morning and to discover this man stone dead on his bed. He died in his sleep. So you can't ever tell who is going to die first or who is going to die next. But whoever died first, the person that is left behind of a necessity will sorrow and will mourn. So that prayer can never be permanent. I will never sorrow in Jesus' name. I will never mourn in Jesus' name. There is coming a day when you will have to sorrow. There is coming a day when you will have to mourn. Let's pray reasonably well. Let's pray in a very sensible way and manner. At least, it is a cross in the Bible for somebody to die and people don't mourn him. So if you die, somebody will have to mourn you. The people you leave behind will have to mourn you. So here on earth, we mourn. Here on earth, we sorrow. But in heaven, there will not be sorrow. There will not be mourning. We will be free from sorrow. We will rest from sorrow. Why are we going to rest from something if that thing is not there in the first place? There is sorrow here on earth. That is why when we get to heaven, God is going to give us rest from sorrow. And then point number six, we are going to rest from shame. You know, at certain times in our lives, we suffer shame, isn't it? I'm sure if you cast back your mind to your past, especially to your upbringing, you will remember certain moments when you have to suffer shame. I can't ever forget, although very, very simple thing, one day I was terribly embarrassed. As a little child, my father had some visitors and I was in the room and I had stayed in the bedroom for quite some time and I had to come out. And then as I passed through, I had to greet them. And then I greet them, good night, sir.
I know there are times when you are not sure of what is the correct thing to say. And then I have to go and check my books. And I realized I should have said good evening instead of good night. I was embarrassed. I felt ashamed of myself. I said, oh, you've been to school. And like they would say it in those days, you have burnt your parents' money in ashes. You are greeting good night when you are supposed to be greeting good evening. You know, there are some times when we are embarrassed, when we feel ashamed of ourselves. And you can imagine, if you have ever been caught stealing, it's a terrible thing, isn't it? And then I remember, there's this story my wife told me, you know, of one of our classmates at Ife, a classmate. You know, all these young girls who will not listen to the word of God and they follow anything in trousers. And she was flirting all over the place. And they were, you know, some of these lecture theaters are in upstairs, maybe third or fourth floor. And because there was no light, they were busy frolicking and caressing and doing all sorts of things in the dark, naked, in one of the rooms. And suddenly, NEPA brought light. And everybody saw them. And you know what students could do? Students started to carry cudgels and sticks and stones and went to that room and started to beat the two of them. And you can imagine, till that lady graduated from the university, you can imagine the shame she will have to bear. You can imagine the shame that she will have to put up with. And you can imagine, I can imagine my wife now, if there were to be a wedding here, and she's conducting, and the lady comes as a guest. Say, wow, this is this lady. All those who saw her, all those who knew her, that stigma will ever be there, permanent in her life. You know, on earth, there are so many things that can cause us to suffer shame. You know, if you have ever been caught stealing in a shop, and they have beaten you on the street, shouted on you, sang for you on the street by mobs, you won't ever for the rest of your life want to go near that street. Those are the kind of shame people suffer on earth. But in heaven, there will not be shame. Even if you have suffered that type of shame on earth, if only you come to Jesus and then he will forgive you, and then he will cleanse your sin, and then he will make you a brand new child of God, and then you make it through to heaven, you will receive rest from such shame. And then lastly, along that line, 7, we will rest from Satan. You know, the chief culprit of all of these wrongs is Satan. Finally, we are going to rest from Satan. Satan will no longer harass us. Satan will no longer be there to tempt us. Satan will no longer be there to cause sickness or pain or shame or sorrow or suffering or whatever. We will receive rest from Satan. And now, as I begin to close, let's go to the last lap, the last part of the message, part 7. Heaven is a place of glorious rewards. It is not just that we are going to be in heaven. It is not just that we are going to have mansions. It is not just that we are going to have rest. We are going to receive rewards in heaven. Number one, we are going to have mansions. Those mansions are part of our rewards. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. And then number two, we are going to walk on streets of gold. There is no street like that here on earth. There is no city as beautiful as that. There is no city anywhere in the world that is as flashy, that is as glamorous, that is as glorious as the streets of heaven. Come to think of it, women in particular, they cherish gold so much that they put it in their ears. They wear it as a necklace around their necks. They use it as bangles around their wrists. Listen to me, when we get to heaven, gold will not be good enough for your body. You are going to march on it. You are going to walk on it. Hallelujah. Bible says when we get to heaven, we are going to walk on the streets of gold. That is part of our rewards in heaven. For all of us who have kept ourselves for God, for all of us who have not joined the bandwagon of evil and wickedness in the world, for all of us who have preserved ourselves unto God and unto Christ. And then number 3, God is going to give us white robe and raiment. He's going to give us a new robe and white raiment. Luke chapter 15 verse 22, Revelation chapter 3 verse 5, and Revelation chapter 3 verse 18, and chapter 4 verse 4. Going to give us new robe and then white raiment. And then number 4, God is going to give us the hidden manna. Revelation chapter 2 verse 17, which means there is a particular manna that is different from the one the children of Israel ate when they were passing through the wilderness. This one, the Bible calls it the hidden manna. manna that has been hidden, manna that has been kept from ages past for you and I. In heaven, God is going to reveal it, and you are going to be part of those that will eat it. I thought you were going to shout amen.
Amen.
I said you will be part of those that will eat it.
Amen.
I will be part of those that will eat it in Jesus' name. The manna that God has kept hidden through all these ages, he's going to reveal it, and he's going to give it to you and I. In heaven, he will give us the hidden manna. Number five, he will give us a new name. New name. That is part of our reward. He will give us a new name. A name that is only known by God himself and the bearer of that name and the person that is giving that name. Your earthly name will no longer be the name, but God will give you a new name. And God is going to confer on you a new identity. An identity that will last forever and ever. That is in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. And then point number 6. In heaven, we are going to partake of the tree and water of life. The tree of life will be there, and the water of life will be there. We will eat from the fruit of the tree of life, and we will drink from the water of life. You find that in Revelation chapter 21 verse 6, and Revelation chapter 22 verses 1 and 2, and then verse 17. Don't forget that through the carelessness of Adam and Eve, whereas they went to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, the Bible says that the tree of life was in the midst of the garden of Eden. These people didn't eat it. If they had eaten it, man would never have been dying. Don't forget that the first generation of human beings lived for over 900 years. And then from that time, the age of man started to come down from 900 plus to 800 plus to 700 plus to 600 plus to 500 plus to 400 plus, 300 plus, 200 plus. And now, the oldest human being you can find can only be over 100. Nobody can live up to 200 anymore. But when we get to heaven, God will give us the grace to eat from the fruit of the tree of life. And the moment you eat from the fruit of the tree of life, that in itself means you are going to live forever and ever and ever and will never die again. Hallelujah. And then we are going to drink from the water of life. You know, you are eating from the fruit of the tree of life. You are drinking from the water of life. Everything is altogether about life. So there is no death. So there is no sickness. So there is no pain. So there is no sorrow. Everything is all alive in God. Hallelujah. And finally, the last of all, we are going to receive crowns in heaven. We are going to receive crowns. As we close, let's quickly look at the different types of crowns that are listed and mentioned in the Bible. In heaven, we are going to receive crowns as rewards for our labor, as rewards for whatever we have done for God in service in his vineyard. Let's look at some of these crowns. Number one, the Bible talks about the crown of life in James chapter 1 verse 12 and Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. The crown of life. And then number two, the Bible talks about the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. The crown of righteousness. And then number three, we have the crown incorruptible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 25. And then number four, we have the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 19. The crown of rejoicing. And then number five, we have the crown of glory. The crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4. Five different types of crown are mentioned. And perhaps there are even more than we have found that are listed in the Bible. Crown of life, crown of righteousness, crown incorruptible, crown of rejoicing, crown of glory. Which one do you want to wear? Hallelujah. I want you to rise with me this moment. And I want us to really, really act out what we are singing, eh? We say we are going to march in heaven. Imagine yourself in heaven. Forget about this world, though. Don't envy people who are wearing all kinds of girly dress, wearing or putting on all kinds of shoes. The one we are going to put on in heaven, eh, will be much more than that. And then we are going to sing, I've got a crown, you've got a crown, all of God's children have a crown. When we get to heaven, we are going to put on our crown. Hallelujah. Those of you who are writing, have you finished writing now? Let's rise up on our feet. I want us to dance. I want us to march. I want us to reflect on this message about heaven. Forget about your needs. Forget about your suffering. Forget about your pain. Forget about whatever you may be passing through right now. And let all your focus, let all your attention be on God and be on heaven. Please, momentarily this afternoon, I want you to leave this world in your soul, in your spirit, and to imagine yourself walking on that street of gold in heaven with your new robe, with your white raiment, and with your crown upon your head, and with your mansion, as you are marching into your mansion to take your beautiful place and to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Hallelujah.
You've got a house, all small children's got a house. When I get to heaven, I will live in my house. I'm gonna dance, oh Lord God. Let's put our hands together. I've got a house, yes, you've got a house. All God's children got a house. When I get to heaven, I will live in my house. I'm gonna dance, oh Lord God's heaven. I've got a crown, yes, you've got a crown. All God's children have a crown. When I get to heaven, I will put on my crown. I'm gonna dance all over God's heaven. Now shoe, I've got a shoe, yes, you've got a shoe. All God's children got a shoe. When I get to heaven, I will put on my shoes. I'm gonna walk on over God's heaven. I've got a robe, yes, you've got a robe. All God's children have a robe. When I get to heaven, I will put on my robe. I'm gonna dance on over God's heaven. I've got a crown, you've got a crown. All God's children have a crown. When I get to heaven, I will put on my crown. I'm gonna dance all over God's heaven. I've got a mother, yes, you've got a mother. All God's children got a mother. When I get to heaven, I'll eat the mother. Gonna dance all over God's heaven. Finally, I've got a room.
And now together as we close our eyes, shall we take this song? Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in the number. When the saints go marching in, will you be there?
I will be there.
I will be there.
I will be there.
When the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in the number. When the saints go marching in, we are going to take that song three more times, and then I want you to pray with all your heart. I want you to pray with all of yourself and say, Father, on that glorious day in heaven, may I not be missing. Brethren, listen, it will be a tragedy if you are not there. It will be a tragedy if I am not there. Whatever you can sacrifice, why don't you sacrifice it? Whatever you can let go, why don't you allow those things to go? Don't allow any earthly gain. Don't allow any earthly riches to deprive you or deny you of entering into heaven. Jesus Christ warned us. He said, what shall it profit a man if he will gain the whole world and lose his soul?